Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Hello, Tay, doing good. How about you?
Doing all right. How have you been?
Well, pretty good. It hasn't been that long since I saw you.
Yeah, just a couple days.
Yeah. We had, if the question is, had any interesting drinks, we had interesting mutual drinks all together in the under the same roof.
That is true. We were down at a beach house for a week, which was very nice.
Yes.
We're supposed to record an episode. We didn't, so our apologies to y'all. We're a little late.
Hauled all the stuff down there. And
It always happens like that.
Kept intending to. I had a pretty good idea it wasn't going to happen, but we had good intentions, if that matters for anything.
I would say, what was the best thing that I had down there? It's hard to really parse out. We went to this restaurant called The Butcher and Bee. We're in Charleston, South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
That's where Charleston is. Okay.
Right.
Which Carolina? We were in Charleston, South Carolina. We were off the shore of it, but we went in for a dinner at this place called Butcher and Bee, and oh man, it was great, but I don't think I could pick a favorite cocktail from that menu. They were all pretty good.
Yeah, they had a lot of good different choices there to choose from.
Oh. But now we're back, and the topic that we picked to cover last week, because it would have made sense when we were together, we're still going to do it. It's a little bit less fun than it would have been if we'd actually made use of this knowledge that we've now gathered, but that's all right.
Well, we didn't exactly do it. We did drink and play games.
Yeah, that's true, but we wanted to do drinking games, which are different. There is some crossover there, but we're still going to give you the little history of some drinking games. Obviously, there are a mass quantity of drinking games out there, but we'll talk a little bit of history and a little bit of the ones that we've experienced and played. So, I don't know, just get right into it.
All right. Well, what do you got for us?
Well, I was surprised. You know, you might think that drinking games originated in the Greek system of colleges. And you'd almost be right, except for it was a little bit farther back than that, like ancient Greece, not Phi, Kappa, whatever, you know.
Well, you know, it's all Greek to me.
It is Greek in origin, just not the Greek system. Some of the earliest known drinking games go pretty much all the way back to the origin of drinking itself. Just going to give you a couple examples as far as ancient Greece goes. There's one that a lot has been written about, and there are even a lot of, like, ancient vases that portray playing this game, which is called a kotobos. And this was played around like the 5th and 6th century. This was a game of accuracy. So it involved hitting a target with the leftover sediment in the bottom of your wine cup. Now we know even modern wine has some sediment in the bottom of the bottle, but back then, obviously not as much refined winemaking techniques. You get a lot of it in ancient Greece. You get kind of a sludge at the bottom of your glass. And you drink out of this sort of wide disc, so you'd have this good sort of, like, I don't know, glove object that you could hurl your sediment with. So you take your sludge, and you'd sling it at a target. The target varied on different versions of the game. Sometimes it was a bowl of water. Sometimes it was a disc balanced on a pole. And there were even some, like, specific rooms designed to play this game that you could have access to, because you were going to sling gross wine goop all over the wall. So it was like these round rooms, so everybody could sit around the target and sling from their place. One thing that was... seems sort of consistent. You'd play it laying down, so you'd play it lounging on your little couch, your little whatever bed, and you'd just fling your wine disc at the target from where you were laying. Hence why you would have a circular room where everybody could hurl their wine from their place.
I don't do much of my drinking laying down.
Well, You're lounging. It was recorded by playwright Antiphanes, and so he says the Kotopos players put the index finger of their right hand through the handle of the drinking cup, palm upwards, and the remaining fingers are spread as playing a lute. The players recline on the couch, leaning on the left elbow and moving only the right forearm, throw the wine lees.
Oh, my gosh.
Remnants.
Well, two things that come to mind. One is, all right, everybody, go to the room with shit on the walls because, you know, we're going to fling that around. And the other is, if you're sitting in a circle and the target's in the middle, when you miss, somebody behind the target might get that shit thrown on them.
Which I think might have been an element of the game. It was kind of messy. Like, everybody just gets... Like, I read an article, oh gosh, the people had tried to recreate it in Modern Times, and that's one thing they said, is like, you gotta be prepared to get messy, because you get a lot of stuff flung on you from this game. There was a sort of a toast involved in it, so before you'd fling your wine mush, you would toast to, like, a lover. There was also sort of an oracle element to it. So instead of toasting someone, you might say, will so-and-so fall madly in love with me? And if your sediment hits the target, you're good. If not, if it splashes your buddy across the room, I don't know. Maybe he's your lover now. I don't know exactly.
If it hits the said lover, a said hoped lover across the way, you're out of luck.
Maybe that's good. I don't know. So it's a very messy, relaxing game, I guess. I understand now, because when I was first reading, it's like, they designed special rooms to play this in? Oh, I get it. Because it would just be the gross, musty wine room.
Well, yeah, and we don't have that much sediment in the bottom, even of a whole bottle, let alone a glass or something.
It would be hard to replicate. You'd have to, like, play with, I feel like, wet sand nowadays. We could have tried a version of this on the beach.
Yeah.
Everybody relax on your towel, we'll build a sandcastle in the middle, and you fling wet sand. If you don't hit it, you hit the person on the opposite side. I don't know. This would have gotten very violent very fast with our family.
Charlie and Cooper love throwing sand on people.
Yeah, no, maybe not. All right.
Well, that makes me think of, you know, when we talked about the early beer, that you had your own straw, like a reed, that you put down through it because all the sediment from the beer fermenting was all on top, and you had to poke down through that to get to the beer underneath because you didn't want the stuff that was floating on the top.
Yeah, there's a lot more chewable qualities to fermented spirits back in the day. there's that whole period where you had like the fermented like bread porridge things where it's like alcoholic oatmeal. So, you know, chewy booze. We've moved beyond that, but I don't know, you could bring it back if you wanted to.
That cake that Justin sets on fire at Christmas.
Well, that's true. That still is alcoholic.
Yeah.
All right. So around the same time period, 6th century-ish, China was also enjoying drinking games. Of course, China being one of the forerunners in the science of fermentation. Now, their games were a little bit more, a little less messy and a little bit more about intellect and wit. So they'd like exchange riddles with drinking penalties if you can't solve a riddle. Or there was one game that I thought sounded really beautiful and poetic. It was called Meandering Stream, where contestants would line up along a small stream and they would float a bottle down it, and wherever the bottle would sort of get gummed up and stop, that person would have to recite, make up on spot a poem, and then they could drink. So very refined, because of a beautiful drinking game. Maybe slightly less refined, but definitely versions of it, I think, exist to this day, is a game called Jioling, which was an ancient Chinese drinking game where basically there was a silver pot full of lots, or like little silver paddles. And on these paddles, there would be inscribed different phrases to indicate who should drink as you pull it. So like one would say the oldest person at the table has to drink, or the youngest person has to drink, or the one who talks the most has to drink, the one with the most money has to drink. And obviously because some of these categories could be up for debate, there would be like a referee to decide, no, that's the person that has to drink. This is kind of like an early version of Kings, which if you've ever... I'll go into it a bit later because that's what I've played. But if you've played that, this is, you know, it is that. You draw... In Kings, you draw a card. That card tells you who has to drink and how much. Mm-hmm. So this was an early version of that. And it was very organized. These officiants that would not only decide who drank and how much, but they would also give penalties for disagreements. Most of these penalties were just, you have to drink more. But in the odd case that you refused to drink, or you were too drunk and you wanted to stop, or maybe you'd gotten so many penalties that you just had a pile of cups of alcohol in front of you, and
then they'd kill you.
No, not that far. But you wouldn't be invited back to any more drinking parties. You could lose your invitation permanently to these drinking parties.
Oh, man.
Pull your own weight and booze.
You were ostracized for life. You had to drink alone.
I wonder. I feel like there must be, outside of Kings, there must be like a modern version of this. I would buy that for a party. Just a cute little silver pot, and you pull your little tabs, and like, oh, who tells the most lies at this table? That who has to drink next? And you could just have a referee that has to decide that.
You might have to have voting done on it.
Maybe. I think that could be fun.
It could cause some friendships to fall apart.
Well, you know, along those lines, let's jump over to ancient Rome. So they are the birthplace of a game that is still played today in Italian taverns, and that is passatella. And it's going to get violent. That's why I make the jump. So you get dealt four cards, and whoever has the highest amount based on your four cards when you add them up, the first and the second highest card value gets to be the boss and the underboss of drinking for that round. So everybody pools their money. They all buy one drink. You know, everything's equal. But then when you decide who the boss and the underboss is, things sort of get messy. So the boss can claim your drink. Or give it to a friend. And that is usually accompanied by an insulting speech as to why you don't deserve your drink. So, you know, you paid for your drink, but here's why you don't get that drink.
And you low-life bastard, I never liked you.
Absolutely. And even then, even if the boss says, no, you can have your drink, the underboss can step in and say, no, this is why that guy doesn't get his drink. And when the underboss says that, then that drink goes to the boss. So the boss could have to drink everybody's drink except for the underboss's drink, or could pick and choose who's paid for their drink but doesn't get to drink it. They're going to hand it off to somebody else. Of course, then in the next round, when more cards are dealt and a different boss and underboss is established, you have your opportunity for revenge. So whoever slighted you in the first round, now you can, you know, have your turnabout. And as you can imagine, this game developed quite a reputation for violence that resulted in duels, stabbings, barroom brawls. Combining alcohol, money, and insults doesn't work out well, usually.
Well, you know how competitive I am. I do not want to play that game.
No. I mean, I guess the one caveat is if you're being insulted, you're also kept away from the alcohol. So maybe... You're not, if you just slighted the whole game, you're not, you took the most insults, but you also are the most sober, so you can handle it. But it still sounds like a dangerous game.
Well, but also, couldn't they give you everybody's drink and make you drunk and sick?
If you're the boss, yes.
Yes,
the underboss
I mean,
can force the boss to drink everything.
So the penalty,
underboss has the most power.
Yeah, so the penalty might not be, you know, that you lose your drink. The penalty might be you have to drink everybody else's drink.
That's true. Either way, yeah. France had a prominent drinking game in the 18th and 19th century that I thought sounded kind of cute. This is much different, way less dangerous direction. This is a bit more for your escape room enthusiast. They had the puzzle jug. So the puzzle jug was a wine jug, and it had a unique series of holes and like secret spouts. You know, it'd have like an inside, maybe like a false interior. Basically, when you would tip it to drink, it would spill out from various places. And so you kind of have to know, you would have to figure it out and know where to put your fingers to cover the other holes and which spout to drink from to actually get a sip of wine. And you would pass it around the table and like everyone would take a stab at it. And it was, you know, the goal was basically just everybody gets covered in wine. If you get a drink, good for you, but the game keeps going till the wine's gone.
Well, that sounds fun. I've never seen a puzzle jug before in my life, though. I've never even heard of one.
I've seen like this idea in like drinking cups at Ren Fairs on sale before.
Really?
Where, like, there'll be different holes around the top, and it looks just like a solid glass, but it's got like different holes around the top, and only one hole will actually give you the liquid. and the other ones will, in fact, either spill out or you just can't drink from it. So I've seen, like, puzzle cups. I've never seen the jug, but...
I've seen a dribble glass.
A dribble glass?
Yeah. That's one that you try to drink out of, it just dribbles down all over you. I mean, it's not a puzzle. It's it's meant as, like, a gag gift, you know?
I guess this is sort of in that same vein, except for there was a way to do it correctly. Kind of along the same, like, in the puzzle cup, the winner was really just who emerged the least stained. To the same idea, Germany had, in the 16th century, their wager cups, which were, they were silver cups. They're really beautiful. You should look them up if you haven't seen them. They look like a woman carrying a basket above her head, but you actually drink from them upside down. So the woman's dress is the bigger cup, and then the basket is the smaller cup, and you fill both with wine, and you try to drink from both of them without spilling.
And well, that doesn't even sound possible.
I think it requires some level of skill.
I would guess so. I thought you were going to say it was the boot, that big glass boot that you drink out of, and that isn't that German?
That is German. That is a more modern invention, but that is also, that's just a chugging vessel. This had a bit of a finesse to it. You could, with like delicate handling, you could find a way to drink from both vessels without spilling anything in the, because the smaller cup was on a swizzle, or a swivel, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
So it wasn't upside down completely, but yeah.
Okay. Now I can figure how you could do it. I couldn't figure it otherwise. Yeah, so as you move the glass, if you moved it carefully, then it would rotate with you as you went.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, this is really just sort of a sampling of older drinking games, but I think all of these, we kind of get the groundwork of what are drinking games today, and that they're different elements, right? Some are about drinking a lot, some are about precision, like, you know, you're trying to aim a target, or there's some sportsman element to it. Some are about intelligence, or you know, like riddles. Some are about involved dice or cards. So I think everything that we have now in like the mass quantity of drinking games that are out there are all sort of taking place in these that I've discussed. But I think we should get into some modern drinking games.
Well, they had a real dangerous one back in the 80s, and that was a drinking game that involved yard darts.
What, lawn darts?
Yeah, lawn darts, yeah.
What was that?
Well, you just start drinking and playing with the lawn darts, and, you know, that can get dangerous real fast.
Well, that's not a drinking game. That's just drinking and doing something dangerous.
That's kind of like being on Jackass.
But actually you say that, but there is I was thinking about this. Have you ever played beer darts?
I mean, I've played darts and drank beer.
Okay, well, beer darts, I've witnessed it being played. I've never played myself, but it is, you basically just, and I don't know, I'm sure everybody has their own version of it, but as I witnessed it, you sit across from somebody and you each have a beer can like between your feet, and you aim your darts at that beer can. And like, if you hit it, you have to drink down to where that dart is, like where that hole is. If you, there are different points for like, if you get close to it or if you miss it, but it is, you are flinging darts at your opponent who has the beer can between their legs.
I was going to say you could get a dart in a foot or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, it does seem like, it doesn't seem like a great idea, but I guess beer darts pales in comparison to beer lawn darts, so let's not play that. Let's not play either, obviously, but definitely not that.
Well, I think regular lawn darts got, you can't band, so yeah, I guess drinking with them is even worse.
But you were telling me about some drinking game that you did actually play. I've got a few that I've played that I'll go into, but there was one that you were talking about that you played.
Well, there's two that I played that really, that's all I could think of. Now, one of them, though, I don't know that it's an actual game or if we made it up. We had a whole bunch of couples. There was probably like five couples, so there was 10 of us sitting around, and we would fill up shot glasses with beer. Then we just had a deck of cards, and everybody would turn over a card. And the high card and the low card had to chug one of the shot glasses of beer. And we called it high-low, But I don't know that I don't remember anybody explaining this game. It was just kind of one of those things. Hey, here's a fun idea. And so we sat around doing it. If you tied, like if two people had aces, you both drank one, you know? And so you just drank shots of beer and doing it. But what happens is, I mean, the 10 of us, we went through like a case of beer in like 20 minutes. Because you're just turning cards and chugging beers, filling them up, turning cards and chugging beers, filling them up.
I mean, that sounds like a simplification of one that I've played, which is, I mentioned back with like the Chinese game that Kings is kind of similar to that, but with Kings you play with a whole deck of cards like spread out in a circle, mm-hmm. and everybody just draws one card, and that card tells you what you're supposed to do. So like, you know, if you draw, like, I'm trying to remember, like two means two is for you. So if you draw two, I get to point to two people, or I can say one person has to drink twice. Mm-hmm. And I mean, usually you're just taking a sip, though. You're not chugging each time. Or like, three is for me, and that means me, I have to take three drinks. And there's like, you know, more... Each card has an intricate meaning that who has to drink at the table.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that one.
Well, that's... So this is like a little bit more complicated version where there's less drinking than what you played.
Well, now, here was the one that really I had to dig back into my memory banks, because this was like, you know, before Sydney was even born. Your mom and I went on vacation, and we met my cousins. They were down there, and my aunt and uncle, and my mom and dad were down there, and my brother. And we all went down to the Gulf Coast, and we were off the coast of Mobile, Alabama, which they have like, I guess they have like a fake French Quarter in Mobile. It's, you know, it's not the New Orleans French Quarter, but it's an area that they have built up and called the French Quarter. And we went to a place that sold hurricanes, specialty. So my cousins had this game that they played, and I remembered it as Admiral Puff. So when I tried to look it up, it's called Cardinal Puff. So I guess I just remember, either they played it wrong, either they called it wrong, or I remembered it wrong. But it's Cardinal Puff. And we were doing it with hurricanes. The way that it's written, when I read through the rules of how you play this, because I could remember vaguely, but you're talking about 40 years ago when we did this, you know? And so I could remember it vaguely, but... The rules here is more or less talking about a beer. A pint glass of beer is what you would normally use. So you have to start off with, there's a series of things you have to say and do each round when it's your turn. So on the first one, you start off with a full pint of beer. You take a drink of it, and you have to, when you pick up the glass, you pick it up with one finger, your pointer finger and your thumb. And pick the glass up, and before you do, you say, this is to Cardinal Puff I drink for the first time tonight. And you pick up your glass, and
who
you take
Cardinal Puff?
Well, Cardinal Puff is the guy that's in charge of the story here.
All right, go ahead, sorry. Cardinal Puff.
So you drink to Cardinal Puff I drink for the first time this evening, or tonight, or whatever. So, and then you pick it up with just the two fingers, the thumb and the forefinger. And you pick it up and you take a drink, you put it down, then you have to go with one finger, you tap on top of the table on your left hand, one finger on your right hand, tap on top, then underneath, right, left, underneath, and then you have to stand up and sit down. All right, then everybody does that on the way around, or I guess you do that all in one turn. It's your turn.
Like
you do it, but
a weird invocation of a spirit. But go ahead.
But you got to do that. Then you sit back down, and then you go, I drink again for the second time to Cardinal Puff this evening. Then you use two fingers and your thumb, and you pick it up and you take a drink, and then you do two fingers above on the left and above on the right. Then two fingers under on the left and under on the right. Stand up and sit down. Then you do it a third time, three fingers, and you do it. Now on this one, you have to get the last bit out of the drink. So you got to drink the whole thing in three drinks. Okay. You've got to get it done, because after you do that one, if you complete the ritual. Now, if any point you screw up the ritual and do it
See,
wrong.
Ritual
But if at any point you mess up, you got to go back to the beginning and start over. So they fill your glass back up and you start back over. So you have to get all the way through it without messing up.
What happens if you get all the way through it?
Well, you'll find out if you get all the way through it.
Okay.
So you got to get all the way through it. But then in the last round, after you drank all of it and you completed the three under the table on each side and three over the table each side, and you stand up and sit down, then you reach and you have to invert your hand so that your thumb is at the bottom and your pinky is at the top, and you pick the glass up and turn it over, and you say, once a cardinal, and then you have to reach and turn it back over and sit it back correctly with your hand inverted again and say, always a cardinal. And there can't be any ring of liquid on the table where you turned it over.
How is that possible?
Well, you have to drink it down real good when you drink it. And if there's a ring of liquid when you turn it over, when you turn it back around, if there's a ring of liquid, you have to start over and do it again.
That's going to happen, though, because your glass is wet.
Well, your glass may be wet. Now, we were doing it with hurricanes, but we didn't do that last part about turning them over, as I recall. I don't remember doing that, because hurricanes have ice in them. So what are you going to do if there's ice in there?
That's true.
But I can tell you this. By the time you got through doing that and drinking that whole hurricane, and especially if you made some mistakes along the way, you were pretty much blasted.
It sounds like Dad, I think you were doing witchcraft without knowing you were doing witchcraft.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
You were summoning Cardinal Puff?
Cardinal Puff. And if you complete it completely, then there's supposed to be somebody ask you, are you a cardinal? To which the only acceptable reply is, you bet your sweet ass I am. And there's different levels of it. If you just do one pint glass, then you're a bishop if you complete it. If you do two pint glasses, which means you would chug the first one on the first drink, then split the second one on the second two drinks. If you do that, then you're a cardinal with one pint glass. You're a bishop with two pint glasses. If you do three pint glasses, then you're an archbishop. And for a pope, you've got to do it with three pitchers.
Well.
So that was the rules for Cardinal Puff. And like I say, that I only played it the one time, but it was so fun. My cousins were all there. We were all of drinking age, and my cousins were there. And I think that's the only time in my life I ever drank with my parents. I think that we kids had more fun and didn't understand it as much, because as I remember, your mom and I and my three cousins, we were all holding each other up as we left out of there. Those hurricanes kicked our butts.
That sounds fun, though. Oh, man. I wish we had done this episode earlier. I actually do wish we'd done this episode on the trip, because then I would have mixed us up some hurricanes. We could have tried that out.
Yeah.
Would have gotten real sloppy, but it would have been a good way to play.
And if you go right through it, it wouldn't be too bad, because it'd just be one hurricane. But if you make a mistake and have to start over, you forget to do one side, or you do it in the wrong order or something like that.
Then you get more hurricanes.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Dad. That sounds fun. I like that. I also think you're summoning something, but that's all right. Captain Howdy, Cardinal Puff, I don't know. They're all the same.
It's Cardinal Puff. It's not Admiral Puff. Although when I looked up Admiral Puff, Cardinal Puff came up. So I guess that's right. A common mistake. But I know that me explaining it that quickly, it probably sounds, it probably sounded a little bit confusing. So Google it, Cardinal Puff and Cardinal Puff drinking game, and you can get the rules if you're interested.
Wow. Well, some of the ones, I don't know, I guess these are more from my era, although they're really not. In sort of like the endurance drinking category, I've played Edward 40 Hands. Have you ever heard of that, Dad?
Never heard of it.
It's a dumb game. Don't play this game. But and I've also played Edward 4 Loco Hands, which is even worse. But that is where you either duct tape 240s or duct tape 24 Locos, one to each hand. And you can't have your hands back until you finish both. And whoever finishes first wins. I've seen that in movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some movies where they did that, but I don't think I heard them call it that. I just saw people walk around with those duct tape to their hands. I thought, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah, I have I have a great picture of a roommate who just like, she got about halfway through, I think 140. I won't name her name, but you've met this roommate before. She's a lovely person. She got halfway through 140 and was like, no, we're not doing this. And she put a pillow on the ground. She had someone else put a pillow on the ground for her, rather, and just went off to sleep with her 240 still taped to her hands. It's like, that's fine. That's how much I want it. I'm going to bed now. Wow.
Well, that's not too bad. I could do my 40. I mean, I started off my order there the other night at dinner with two Guinness. Well, it's like, you know, I'm famous for.
I think, and I've completed Edward 40 Hands. And for me, I mean, you're usually playing with like OE or something, like malt liquor, you know, like 40 ounces on each hand. It's not about the amount necessarily. Like, I could slowly drink 240s over the course of a night. I wouldn't feel great about it. I wouldn't do that now as an adult, but yes, I could. The amount of just liquid in your body in that short period, like, because you can't go to the bathroom when you're playing Edward 40 Hands. You don't have hands, so you gotta.
Well,
get
I didn't
done.
Think about that. Well, that's all the more reason to drink them fast so that you can go pee.
But it's just like, it's low alcohol, but it's just frothy malt liquor that you're usually playing with, like cheap bad beer. It's not fun. It's a funny idea.
I could get through it. I could get through it in an hour, I think.
Similarly, have you ever heard of a Tour de Francia?
No, that sounds like it has to do with wine, though. Like a box of wine?
Yeah, like, you know, well, if you open a Francia is a boxed wine, but if you open it up, it's actually just like a bladder bag. It's a wobbly bag of wine.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I read up on what it means as far as the internet is concerned. It's a very specific game you play with a DVD of the Tour de France. So you watch the Tour de France, and at separate times you drink wine. That sounds fine. As I was introduced to it, it was literally just my buddies. This was like back in my like scummy bike punk days. You just get a bladder bag of Francia and you like bike somewhere to a beach somewhere with it, and you try to finish all of your wine before you get there, so then you're just drunk on a beach. That's how I played Tour de Francia.
Isn't that drunken driving if you're
it
drinking
is. No,
and riding
no, no.
a bike?
Don't never, no, no. And I'm saying this not just like, don't do this. Like, seriously, don't. I have two fake teeth. My front teeth are fake because I, not in this case, not playing this game, but like I was on my bike and also had alcohol, and that's why I have fake teeth. So don't ever drink and drive, even if you're driving a bike or a tricycle or anything. Don't. But that was what I understood at Tour de Francia was just you ride your bicycle and you have a bladder bag underneath your, you know, your backpack or whatever that you're just sipping from the whole way.
Well, Mom got one of those bladders that you can fill up with water, and then it's like a backpack, and it's got a tube that comes out of it. So if you're walking and it's hot out, you can drink as you go. So I guess you could fill one of those up with wine.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And that would work real good.
I've seen those, I will say, misappropriated at like, comic conventions where people will carry those so they can get drunk on the con floor. Also, don't do that. Not recommended any of this. This is all bad. Don't do any of this. If you want to do a Tour de Francia, do it at home with some Francia and watch a DVD of the Tour de France. That seems okay, but that's it.
Well, see, that's where I thought you were going with that, is that you watch the DVD or you watch the Tour de France on TV or something like that, and when certain things happen, you drink. And I was going to say, well, you know, I hadn't thought of it, but that's a drinking game. There's certain shows where when people say something or do something, everybody drinks and stuff like that. I forgot about that. Now, I've never actually done that, but I've heard of several ones that are like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, so I mean, even like, they were, you know, people put them out for like election cycles or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. debates, take a shot every time somebody does this, you know, that's definitely a popular one. Like most big movies, you can Google, like, you know, drinking game for this. That's mm-hmm. fun. I feel like I do want to take a moment to say, like, drinking in excess, we know is always bad, right? You're listening to an alcohol podcast. I hope that comes like up front. Like, don't do any of this if it means drinking to excess. It's always bad for you. Drink for enjoyment. And I will say that's always usually my problem with a drinking game, is that I like to drink because I like the taste of alcohol. I like cocktails. I like the way beer tastes. I like the way wine tastes. drinking as either like I have to wait my turn to drink, or I'm supposed to just down this really nice drink all at once. Neither of those am I happy with. Neither of those do I enjoy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if any of these represent a healthy way of engaging with alcohol.
Well, you know, I remember we had an old board game from like the late 80s or the early 90s, and it was called Chug-a-Lug.
I remember that.
And it was a board game that had to do with drinking. Now, I don't think we ever played it but once or twice. It sat in that closet for a long time. But I remember that it was like you'd land on a space and it would say you had to drink. And then you couldn't go to the bathroom till you landed on a space that said go to the bathroom. So
jeez.
You had to sit there and hope you rolled to go to the bathroom. If you want to smoke a cigarette, you had to roll for a cigarette break or stuff like that, you know. But you had to do whatever the board said. But that was weird. It was a very generic looking game. It was a yellow box, and it just had a hand holding a beer with the words plainly printed "Chug-a-Lug."
I remember seeing that on our game shelf.
Yeah, it's like somebody just made it in their basement or something. I don't know. It's a real company.
Yeah. As far as like very what are like popular games now? I do think, and I don't know as far as like how healthy is it to play this game? I think some that emphasize the sort of sport or the game element, and the drinking kind of takes a back seat, or the drinking is sort of like it's meant to be beer or something lower alcohol. I feel okay about those. Like beer pong or flip cup, I think are two examples of that, where you're not drinking a lot like in beer pong. It's, which, yeah, I thought this was interesting. Beer pong actually dates back to like college campuses in the 50s. So it's been around for a while. I associate it with like more recent times, but in origin, it was literally ping pong, where you would have a cup of beer on your side of the table and your opponent would have a cup of beer on their side of the table. And if you get your ping pong ball in their cup of beer, they had to drink it. So it's just, you know, as often as you would land a ping pong ball in somebody else's cup of beer is as often as you had to drink.
Yeah.
But obviously now it's a little bit more, you know, like gamified.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember ever seeing beer pong when I was in college. Yeah. I'm sure it was probably somewhere, but I didn't see it till like in the movies later in life. They'd be doing it or on TV or something.
I'm always entertained when I've seen it a couple times, like the party packs at like party stores for beer pong, where they're literally selling you like, here's, I don't know, 18
plastic cups and pop balls.
And it's like $10 for like 10 or 15 solo cups and a ping pong ball. Like you can, you know that stuff you can source, right? Like, you don't need to pay for that.
It's a pro level beer pong set.
Yeah. Flip cup similarly, you know, like flip cup, the way you play it, obviously, is you have your, like, you go in a team, so your team is lined up on your side of the table, the opponent's team is lined up on their side of the table, and the first people, they each get their cup filled with beer. You have to chug your beer, and then you have to flip it. You put it on the edge of the table, and then flip it so the lip of the cup lands down. And you can't move on to the next person until your cup lands. So you just keep going. There's no more drinking than that. It's just your next player will then chug their beer as soon as you're ready.
Right.
That's, you know, it's a little
like
bit
like a relay race.
Yeah. But there's this is not true at all, but it's like a fanciful story that different websites have attributed to Flip Cup, and that's that it was actually created during the Revolutionary War. And Washington had his men play Flip Cup to keep their trigger fingers in shape during cold weather and downtime. I mean, obviously that's not true, but the great American tradition of Flip Cup actually came about sometime in the 80s.
I thought that's where Anna Kendrick learned how to do that thing with the song.
No, that's just cups.
Oh.
You're not flipping. They're just cups.
Okay.
But, yeah. So there's, I don't know. Those are all the games that I've played or at least witnessed. I don't usually jive with drinking games because I like to drink for the like enjoyment of the flavor of what I'm drinking. I try not to drink things that I'm not enjoying, and so I don't want to chug them, and I also don't want to like let them sit there and just like get hot and melt while I'm waiting to like lose or win to drink, depending on the game.
Well, I know what you mean. And most drinking games, if you think about it, are really built more around, like, say, low alcohol or beer or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're not. You wouldn't want to mix up a nice fresh cocktail so that you can slam it while you're bouncing balls around or something.
That's truer words never spoken.
Whatever that game is.
Well, all right, all right. So, any final thoughts on drinking games, Dad?
No, like I say, the Cardinal Puff one, that was the one that stuck out my mind, but that was the only time I ever played that, and I think the most fun was because it was my cousins, and I'd only see my cousins like once a year, and I always liked them, and it was fun hanging out with them, so I think that's why that event stands out so much. But I had to look it up to see if I dreamed the whole Admiral Puff thing, because I'd never heard of it since.
Well... So check that out. Look that up. Play that game. Maybe. Be careful. Whatever. We don't endorse any sort of binge drinking here on Need the Booze Cast. We endorse enjoying and savoring your drinks when you consume them responsibly. But
that's right. And if anybody asks you if you're a cardinal, you should reply, "You bet your sweet ass."
Well, all right. Hey, thank you all for joining us here. Thank you, Dad, of course, for being here.
Well, thanks, Taylor, for having me. It was a fun discussion.
I'm regretting we didn't get to play some of these games. Some of them would have gotten messy, though. Somebody might not be alive now if we did, so it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
All right. Of course, if you want to find us on social media, we are Neat Boozecast on Twitter and Instagram. We are neatboozecast@gmail.com if you want to hit us up. We also have a Patreon. If you'd like to support us, we have rewards, extra videos, and all sorts of fun stuff, so check that out. And if you want to talk about your favorite drinking games, you can do that. Where can they do that, Dan?
At Meet the Boozecast group page on Facebook.
There you go. Over there. Do that. All right. Well, thanks again for being here. Special thanks to our Patreons for supporting us. And, hey, I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been...
for the first time tonight.
I feel like you're invoking the spirit there. Pretty sure.
The spirit of the ancient Cardinal Puff. Sounds like you're trying to bring about marijuana somehow there.
I mean, that's fine too.
Hope or Puff the Magic Dragon. There's you a song out of history.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.